Amen. So I will try to be as brief as I can with, at the same time, trying to convey the message, trying to convey the thought. So I told you this morning we're going to have a part one, a part two. This is part two. And the part two is this, is what is the, or what the armor is. We talked about a little bit this morning is what it was for. We understand the battle. We understand the spiritual warfare. But I want to look at the armor a little bit more piece by piece, just bring some things in. And again, there were so many different thoughts that was running through this, and I tried to jot a lot of it down. But I'm going to try to, instead of preaching every single point, I'm going to try to read the point off, kind of give you what it says, just to bring it all in at the end, because the end is pretty much when the gist of the message anyway. So Ephesians chapter number 6, once again, Ephesians chapter number 6. And I will begin reading in verse number 13, and then we'll just kind of continue on from where we were from this morning. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, bless again the reading of your word this evening. Lord God, help me to say everything that you have said. Lord God, I pray, Lord, not to rush through, but Lord, at the same time, help us to be brief. Lord, our bodies, our minds are tired. Lord, our bellies are full. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us again to convey everything that you'd have said. But Lord, help us to do it in a timely fashion, Lord God, that will bring honor and glory unto thy name. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Again, the thought here is to take the armor. And I mentioned it at the very closing of this morning's message was that we take it because it's there for you. It's offered for you. And your armor is made for you. This is a custom fit. It is for us to wear for the battle. And we don't just, if we don't put on that armor, we'll not be able to stand whenever the things of Satan and the things of the world come against us. So therefore, he closed down. He says, having done all to stand, and again, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. So we see now that not only are we to fight this battle, be prepared for this battle, but the armor is there to help us to stand. This is a time not to run. This is a time not to faint. This is a time not to hide, but it is a time to stand. It's not time to just kind of rock it out. And I know even in the church age and the day that we live in the day of Laodicea. Laodicea, the name Laodicea, it means rights or the people's rights. And everywhere today you see the rights of the people. I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. But we understand also, according to the book of Revelation, in this day of Laodicea, it's a time of lukewarmness. This is a time when people are not hot. They're not on fire for God. They're not cold. They're just kind of in the middle, rocking it out, existing, waiting till the Lord comes or waiting till we go to the house. God said that it ought not be like that. We ought to be in the battle. We ought to be fighting in the battle. And whether or not we die on the battlefield or whether or not we go in by the rapture, we should be fighting for the things of God, for the cause of Christ until that day. So all of this is that we might be able to stand. And having done all to stand, in other words, after you've done everything you can to stand, in the end of it, just stand. Just stand in what you know. Stand in the truth that you have. Stand in the Bible that you know. But stand no matter what you do. And then he goes forth and he begins to mention this armor. And he begins to mention different parts of the body, different parts of the anatomy, if you will. And I want to look at those real brief. I'm just going to kind of read through these. So don't hold that against me. I'll try to go more in a teaching gear than a preaching gear for this afternoon. But he said your loins. And your loins, that has to do with your strength. That is where your power comes from. Those of you that might have done sports, and sometimes you try to build what they call your core. If you've ever skinned a deer, you understand the back, the tender loins. Those loins are in the back. That is where the strength of that deer comes. That's why it's able to run like it's able to run. When a baseball player, he has that strength in the core, he can hit the ball farther. And it deals with strength, and it's where your power comes from. But the Bible says that we have our loins girt about, not with muscle, not with garments, but our loins are to be girded with truth. In other words, where our strength comes from is the truth. The only thing I have true in this world is the Bible. And if we're going to have any kind of strength, that strength has got to be based on the Bible. That's why it's important that you know the Bible, that you read your Bible, that you study your Bible, that you memorize your Bible, because that is the strength. How we get power within, as far as to be able to stand in the world and have power to stand in truth, is or have power to stand, is through the Word of God and power to stand in truth. The truth protects our strength. We gird ourselves about it. That word gird is to be girded all the way around, that we are to surround ourselves with truth. And it has the same thought as the way one would fasten their belt. That is what we need to surround ourselves with. We need to surround ourselves not with worldly philosophies, news broadcasts, and everything else. The truth should be always prevalent around us everywhere we go. We should have the Word of God on. There should be preaching on. There should be gospel music. Something that has to do with the truth of God's Word is what we need to surround ourselves with. And when we find we do that, that we will have strength. The breastplate, of course, it protects your heart, your lungs, your vital organs. And those all have to do with emotions. Righteousness is what protects our hearts. The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. But when we have righteousness around, that is what protects our emotions. The first step into going off into sin is your emotion. The first step of covetousness is that emotion of lust. You will begin to desire things. And the emotion, the seed of man, needs to be protected with that breastplate, which is righteousness. Verse 15, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The feet deals with our walk with God. The gospel protects our walk. That is the purpose. Everything that we do, it should be around the gospel, getting the gospel out, supporting missionaries to take the gospel to foreign countries, ourselves if we go somewhere to have the gospel, handing out tracts. Everything, our walk with God is determined on the way the gospel is to go out. To shod means to bind under one's feet. It's the same as putting on shoes or sandals. That our walk should be bound to Christ. John 15 verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." If we're going to bear fruit, we have to abide with Christ. If we're going to walk with God, it has to be centered around the gospel and getting around the gospel. Again, the righteousness, our breastplate, and then the loins girt about with truth. Ephesians 6, 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet protects, obviously, our head, but it deals with the thoughts and the intents of the heart, the what man would conjure up even in his own mind. Salvation changes the way we think. That was the way when in religion says, "I must change my outside, I must do more, I must do better, and by doing that, I will change my heart and make myself a better person." That's a false philosophy. Salvation says God reaches in, changes the heart, saves the soul, and whenever whatever happens in the heart begins to show on the outside. Repentance in itself simply means this: a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. And that helmet of salvation, it deals with the way we think. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ." And our thinking, our mind, the way our imaginations are. What we need to do is we need to, as far as not just being saved, but you need to remember your salvation. You need to remember, "I'm not what I used to be." When that temptation to go back to the old life, that temptation to live the old life, when that comes upon you, you need to remember where you were when God saved you, but what you are now since you've been saved. So it deals with the head, it deals with the heart, it deals with our strength, our loins, it deals with our walk and our feet. But then it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is, of course, the Word of God. God gave you a Bible. Now, I want to bring it kind of more into this. We understand the different portions of the body that it protects, what it deals with. But he says this in verse number 16, "Above all." And that's the verse that really jumped out of the God. I hear all this other thinking and all the other thoughts and points of the message. He said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." He said, above all of these other things, faith. Above the breastplate, above the helmet, above the girded loins, above the shodded feet, above all of those things, faith. is the most important. The way we fight the battle, it is through faith. The way we stand is through faith. The way we wear the armor is through faith. The way that we win, the way we have victory, all of it is through faith. The shield stops the darts. Without the shield, the darts would hit not us, but think of this, without the shield, the darts will hit the armor. If you think you're clothed in the armor, your feet, your loins, your breastplate, the helmet, you're standing there, but that shield was there. Now, I won't go into all the stuff of the message, but in that day, the Roman soldiers would carry shields with them. They were leather shields. Some of them had some brass in it. They would have wood in it. But what those were for was they would overlay that with that leather, and they would soak them in the water. And those things were heavy. I had a brother, Mike Qualls, did a message on the armor of God, and he made a replica of it. And it showed those shields were literally as tall as they were and were heavy. I mean, it was almost impossible the way you would hold these. But they would soak them in water, and whenever the enemy would fire a fiery dart at them, it would hit that leather, and it would absorb into it, and that water would put the fire out. But without the shield of faith, we just stand there with our armor. And even though there's some protection there, those fiery darts would end up damaging the armor. Eventually, it would cause them to be destroyed. Without the faith, the darts damage the armor. The damage destroys the armor because of no faith. Without faith, your loins will no longer be girded with power. Where does our power come from? Well, we have power, we have strength with God, but all of a sudden we find ourselves doubting God. Has anybody in here ever doubted God? You cannot stand in victory if there's doubt. You cannot stand in victory even if there's discouragement. And you have no strength, and you have no power, and you have no power to swing the word of God. Have you ever went to witness to somebody and you kind of backed up? Because you didn't have confidence in what you were saying. You didn't have confidence, not that you didn't have confidence in the Word of God, but you did not have confidence in yourself. And the reason because of that is because you had no power. There's a boldness that comes on. Even Brother McMillan, you understand this in preaching. As far as personality, I'm a shy person. I assume you're the same way. Where I'm shy, I'm backwards. If I was at the house, I just let me go off somewhere by myself. I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm very introverted as far as that goes. But when God gets on you as far as preaching, there's a power there. And you realize you're not standing in your own power, your own strength. You're relying on God to do it for you. And there's times even in our witness that we're not as bold as what we need to be because we have no power. And the reason we have no power is because there's been a fiery dart from the wicked that has hindered our strength. Our loins are no longer girded about with that power, with that strength. Romans chapter number 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Without faith, our breastplate will become punctured. Our heart begins to doubt God. Doubt is the opposite of faith. The Bible says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Without faith, we are barefoot on broken glass. We have no confidence in our witness. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace, and we have no peace. We're afraid to take another step. We're afraid to talk to a family member. We're afraid to do anything for God. Has God ever got on you about doing something or told you to do something and you would not move because of fear? Well, if you have fear, it's because your feet, you're scared to take a step. You're scared to do anything. You're scared to walk with God, and it's because of fear. Well, your armor has become damaged, or you're not wearing the armor. But every bit of it has to do with faith. If I've got the shield of faith, those darts will not hit my armor, and they cannot hit me. Without faith, our helmet of salvation is knocked off, and that's not losing your salvation. But how many of you in here be honest and say, "Preacher, there's been a time or two I've doubted my salvation. I've doubted whether or not I've ever really truly been born again." Well, how are you saved? And usually if you're doubting, stop, time out. I'm going to try to do this real quick. If you're doubting your salvation, you're going back and looking at something that you've done, not what he's done. Did I say the right prayer? Well, I don't know what the right prayer is. There's not one in the Bible. The one man, he said, "Remember me." You know, remember when thou comest into thy kingdom. Simon Peter said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. So there's not a sin, but when I'm looking at myself, that's when the doubt comes in. But salvation is by faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. It is through faith. And whenever I'm not holding that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation is not protecting my mind. And when those darts come and they fly and they knock that helmet off, all of a sudden there's doubt that's going on in there, because I'm not standing in faith, I'm standing in flesh. That is why we take the whole armor of God daily. When it gets knocked off, pick it up, put it back on, take faith in hand, and fight. What is faith? Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the sense, it is this: confidence in God. Confidence. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. I have the Bible. I can believe God because the Bible tells me I can believe God. And I simply choose to trust God. I have confidence in God. I believe God. And therewith I'm able to stand. For that which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He, God, is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We have confidence in God, and we have confidence in prayer. Do you know the reason that we do not pray is because we have no confidence that God will hear or God will answer our prayer. And the reason we have no confidence that God will hear or answer is because we're not praying in faith. If we pray in faith, He hears. And if we pray according to the will of God, according to the word of God, He hears and He answers. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Why do we know that? Because the Bible teaches us that. And that is faith in itself. Your faith is your shield. Faith has to be based on something. Faith has to be based on truth, by hearing and obeying the word of God. That's why you listen to, you follow, and obey your pastor, because he is the one who is preaching to you from God's word. When I was a baby, I could not feed myself. I was not capable of going in. I could make a big mess, but I couldn't feed myself. I had to have somebody to take the baby food and put it on the spoon. Here come the choo-choo train. Open up the tongue. You know what I'm talking about. Every mama in here can say amen to that one. Amen. The airplane coming in for a landing. You remember that. So, but I had to have somebody to feed me when I was a baby. Well, when I was a babe in Christ, I could not read nor discern much of anything in the Bible. I wasn't brought up around the things of God and the scriptures. But I had a man of God that would stand there and teach me and instruct me. And you have a pastor. That's why you listen to him, you follow him, and you obey him. And if you got questions, one of my favorite things to do is, I love to preach, but I love it when somebody comes up to me after a service and say, "Preacher, can I ask you something?" And I grab my Bible and say, "Yes." Preachers like that. You like that? I love that. I love being able to sit down and counsel with somebody and talk to somebody and answer some questions. And if you've got those, you've got a man of God that you can ask. Amen. So don't take a chance on your armor being destroyed or damaged. Talk to your man of God and learn from him, because your armor only works by faith. Wherewith, the shield of faith, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Remember this morning we talked about principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and then the spiritual wickedness. The way we can overcome the wicked one is through faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If you're being overrun constantly in your spiritual walk, examine your faith. Check up on your faith. Are you really believing God? Because again, when I'm just standing in my own power and my own strength, and I'm playing war instead of really putting on my armor, I'm falling all over the place because I'm not believing God. But when we really put our faith, our trust in the things of God, we have the victory. Christ is the truth that girds us. Now, this is kind of where I want to just slow down a little bit. We understand the different parts, parts of the armor, the different parts of the body. But understand this: each part of those of that armor is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible says in John 14, verse number 6, he said, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, what are we supposed to be girded about? We're supposed to be girded about with truth. Well, Christ is the truth. So Christ is where my power comes from. That is what protects the loins. The loins deal with our strength. Christ, the truth, is what gives me the strength to succeed. He protects me. Christ, Jesus Christ, is our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, the old sinner, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ is our righteousness. Our breastplate, breastplate of righteousness. It is what protects our heart. It is what protects our emotion. It is what protects the vital organs that we have. Christ is what protects our hearts. He protects our strength. He protects our heart. Christ is our peace. Our feet are supposed to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 2, verse 14, for he, Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. If you have no peace, you're not being clothed with Christ. If your emotions are all over the place, you're not walking in faith of Christ. If you have no strength, you're not walking in the strength of Jesus Christ. Christ is our salvation. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Christ is our salvation. He is our helmet. He protects our minds, our head. And then Christ is the Word of God. He is the sword. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Christ is our faith. Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have all the armor, but what holds all the armor together is faith. Faith is what seals the armor. Faith is what prevents the darts from getting through. Faith is that shield. It protects us. And when we are covered with that, then we can fight. Verse number 18, back to Ephesians 6, verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, I told you this morning, we'll talk a little bit about the battle and what the battlefield is. I understand that we have to fight against the world. I understand that we have to fight against spiritual darkness in high places. I understand that. So here's the question: how do we fight that battle? Where do we fight that battle? Do we go to Washington, D.C., get out picket signs, and start marching? Down with AOC, whatever. No, that's not the way we do it. Where does the Christian fight the battle? You fight it in prayer. The battle is fought in prayer. I'm not talking about playing. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about when you really get in that attitude of prayer. 9 times out of 10, if you're like me, and I guess maybe I'm just not the most spiritual person in the world, but 9 times out of 10, when I get myself in that position of prayer, immediately I'm attacked. Yes. Where are you attacked? Your mind. That's where the helmet of salvation comes in. My heart. My emotions. That's where the breastplate comes in. I have no strength to endure in prayer. How many times do you go to pray and you fall asleep? No strength. No power. You understand? Even in your walk, and you can go make application there. But our battlefield is a battlefield of prayer. When I put on my armor, it's not to go to work, although you ought to be, you know, you ought to have some armor on when you're out in the world. Where I put my armor on and where I need my armor is in my prayer life. The battle is fought there. He said, closing out here, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We need the armor just so we can pray. We need to watch. We need to be alert. We need to be aware. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Matthew chapter 26, 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to get the flesh out of the way. That's where the faith comes in. That's where the armor comes in. That's where we trust in the things of God. Our battlefield is a battlefield of prayer. And if you find yourself constantly being defeated in your prayer life, I'm going to stop. Because I'm closing it down. If you find yourself constantly being defeated in your prayer life, it's because you're not wearing the armor of God. You have to put on the helmet of salvation by faith. I'm saved by faith, but my mind is protected by faith. God, I'm trusting you, protect my mind. God, protect my emotions, my heart. And that battlefield is there. And that battle might last for 20 minutes. That battle might last for 2 days. How many times have you carried a burden for days upon days and upon days? And you pray, the key is you pray until you have victory. Well, how do you know you have victory? What starts off in a burden in prayer will turn into worship. When you can begin to worship in that place of prayer. When the prayer life, it might be tears, it might be agony. Sometimes you might not even have words to say. That's why the Bible says he makes intercessions for us with groanings. You might not have words. You can't even phrase anything. You might be absolutely in turmoil. But you stay in that place of prayer. You stay on that battlefield until you are able to worship. Until that burden turns into praise, until that prayer turns into worship. And when you get to that point, there's victory in that. And when you leave that prayer closet, when you leave that prayer place, there's going to be victory for you in the world. The reason we fall in the world is because we fail in our prayer life. The reason we fail in our church is because we fail in our prayer life. The reasons we fail in anything that we do is because we fail in the prayer life, because that is where the battle is taking place. We think the battle, that's why I said we don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities. Well, how can I fight? I can't fight a devil. I can't. If there's a demon that's all over you and it's a temptation or a discouragement, sometimes suicide, depression, even some of these things are demonic influence. I can't just turn around and punch that devil in the eye, although I'd like to. So how do I fight him? Same way Jesus did. You put on the armor of God, you fight in prayer. Here's the thing, and I'll kind of bring it back to where we were this morning. I'll try to tie it in. We talked about Jesus and how he fought Satan in the wilderness. And he fought him, he used the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. And we want to know the Bible, and we want to know the scriptures, and we want to be able to stand against the devil using the word of God. Great. You've got a sword, but you don't have the strength to pick up the sword and swing the sword. What did Jesus do for 40 days before the devil got there? Fast and prayed. That's where the key is. It wasn't just that he used the word of God. It's an example to us to use the word of God. You need to know your Bible. But the key was not just the fact that he was able to quote the scripture, because I've quoted scripture to the devil and he turned around and cut me to pieces with it. It's the fasting and the praying for 40 days before. And I'm not saying go out here and fast for 40 days. I'm saying you ought to fast. Because we don't have any power, because that's a big reason of it. But it was the prayer for 40 days that he was with. He was fighting the battle a long time before the devil ever set foot there. That's where the battle is fought. The battle is fought in prayer. And then go on to verse number 19, because this is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Verse number 19, and for me, who's that? Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospels. And to me also, what does that mean? For me, that prayers, that you pray. Notice verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. So when you're in your prayer closet and you're fighting your spiritual battle, don't forget to fight for your church members too, your brothers and your sisters. And don't forget to fight for your preacher, because he's the one fighting the spiritual battle as well. If you've ever had to sit down and prepare a message, I'm not talking about a sermon, I'm talking about a message from God. When God puts a burden on you to preach a message, and that heaviness and that weight, and that, you can ask my wife, I'm the sweetest person in the whole world when I'm under a burden trying to prepare for a message. It's a burden, it's a weight. And I know as an evangelist, I need people praying for me. Your pastor needs somebody praying for him. Paul realized this. And Paul's sitting here commanding the church, commanding the church of the Ephesus, put on the whole armor of God. Your armor is Christ. Put on Christ. The Bible says, it might even be earlier in Ephesians or Galatians, one of the, I think it's Ephesians, where he says, put off the old man. That's the old man of the flesh. And we put on the new man, which is Christ. And we put on the new man because we need to pray. We put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, the loins girt, all those things that is a battlefield in prayer that we need to wear the armor to. We take the word of God, because sometimes even in the middle of praying, you start quoting the scriptures. God does not mind it one bit when you remind him of what he said. Amen. You can remind God, say, God, I'm coming to you because you said I could. And God, I'm the sorriest dog that ever walked the face of the planet, but God, you said through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have interest into the most holy place. I can come before the altar. I can come before your presence. We are seated together in the heavenlies, and even though I'm the dirtiest dog that ever walked the face of the earth, by faith, your word says it. I believe it, and I come before you, and I'm not talking about name it, claim it. I'm talking about taking the real, true promises of God and holding God to it. Because God said, I exalt my word above my own name. We have confidence in prayer. We have boldness in prayer. And we can come. But the reason we keep getting ourselves defeated is because when we come in to prayer, we're not ready to do battle. That's where battle is fought. That's why you need the armor of God on. You pray for the man of God. What do you pray for your preacher? Right there in the scripture, that utterance may be given unto me, that he can preach the word of God, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for the man of God that he can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. An ambassador is just somebody who is a representative. We are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are representatives of Jesus Christ upon the earth. Never forget who you represent. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand in prayer. Don't forget to put on your armor. Having your loins girt about with truth, that is Christ centered about you. Having the breastplate of righteousness, that is Christ in and on our hearts. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that is standing upon Christ. Having the shield of faith, that is Christ all around us. Having the whole helmet of salvation, that is Christ in our thoughts. And having the sword of the Spirit, that is Christ in our hands, that is the word of God. And then we can stand against the devil, we can stand against the evil day, we can stand in prayer, and you can stand by your preacher. You know why you need the armor of God? So you can pray. That's why I said this morning, we play battlefield. We play war. We try to kneel down in prayer and we're trying to shoot Nerf guns. But we need to realize we're in a war, we're in a battle. And the only way I can fight that battle is on my knees. The only way we're going to win is prayer. The only way your church is going to have victory is through prayer. The only way the man of God is going to have the liberty to preach is through prayer. Brother McMillan, I don't know if you're like this or not, but you can tell when you come into a pulpit if there's people that's praying. You can tell when you stand behind the desk if there's people that's been praying for you. I've stood before and I knew, if nobody else, I knew the preacher was praying for me to be able to preach. But I've been in church services before where it was a struggle to get out a verse of Scripture, where you could not even remember John 3:16. And the reason why there was such an oppressive spirit in those churches that it clouded your mind. You could not think. You could not speak right. You couldn't get anything out. It was a battle just to be able to preach. And the reason there was a battle in the preaching is because nobody was fighting the battle in prayer. When the battle's fought in prayer, the preaching is easy. The preaching is easy. And when the preaching is easy and there's liberty in preaching and the gospel can go out, it gets into the ears of the little youngins. It gets into the ears and the hearts of the people that are lost, and you'll start seeing fruit. You'll start seeing souls saved. You'll start seeing your number increase. Stand in prayer. Pray for one another and pray for the man of God.